talking about our experiences with God and getting to know God by our experience with Him. Not just knowing about God, but to get to know God in a relationship with Him. And as I told you when we started this, a lot of the things that I've been focusing on with this come from a book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King. And so that's really what we're doing. And as we've been focusing on this experience with God and getting to know God through our experience with Him and building a relationship with Him, we do that through our experience. And then when we have those experiences, just like all the prayers that God has answered for us, then we have something exciting to be able to share with other people as we go out and become witnesses of Jesus Christ in our lives. We've been focusing on thus far in our study some things like getting to know the nature of God and to know Him by His names and what those names really mean, and to know His will. And so, you know, as we experience those aspects of our relationship with God, we come to a point where what we really want to look at is some things that Blackaby calls seven realities of experiencing God. And so over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at one of those, each of those seven realities, as we try to, again, get to know God more and more by our experiences. What we're going to talk about this morning is the first reality that he talks about is that God is always at work around you. Now think about that. And the things that we've already talked about and focused on in the experience with God is the reality that says, you know what, God is not just some, you know, great-grandfather that's sitting up on a throne somewhere in heaven, wherever that is, and he's just kind of set everything in motion and said, you know, I'll just get everything going, and then I'm going to sit back and wait until the time which I have already picked out, and then I'll end everything. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that have that kind of a concept of God, but if that's all God is, he's not much use to us. And I don't believe that that's what the Bible teaches us about God, that He's just up there kind of, you know, letting things happen. No, instead I believe the Bible tells us that God is active and He is working in our lives all the time. You see? That's the kind of God that I believe in. And I want to share with you this morning why. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. We begin to really look at this idea that God really is active in our lives. He's working. And by the way, if God wasn't working in our lives on a regular basis, then why should we bother to pray to Him? You say, think about that, okay? If He's not doing anything, then what's the point? Okay? And so, again, the evidence, I think, in part of God actually working in our lives on a regular basis and daily is look at the prayer walls in the back and all the prayers that God has already answered for us in that way. So we look in Jeremiah chapter 29, and, you know, the first point is that not only is God working, but He's not just working arbitrarily. Okay? God's just not just, He doesn't just get up every morning like we do and say, what am I going to do today? You see, I think I'll go and, you know, do this in Russ's life and old Tom's life. I think I'll maybe, you know, do this today. And James over here, I think I'm going to do this with James today. No, God has plans for us, you see. And what God is doing daily in our lives is working. Whose plans? His plans in our lives every day. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 29, what we find here is God through Jeremiah, he sends this letter to the Israelites who are in exile. Okay? Now, in that kind of a situation, you know, you understand what being in exile means, right? They have been conquered by their enemies, all right? And they have been carried off back to Babylon. Okay? So, for most of them, not a really good situation. Okay? The circumstances we might say are less than favorable. Would we agree on that? Okay. So they're in captivity. That's their circumstances. And yet God, through Jeremiah, gives these exiles this message. Look beginning in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, one of the things that we have to understand is even in their circumstances, while they are in exile, God is telling them, look, I am working on your behalf. I've got some plans for you. I'm not going to just let you be there and forget about you and you're on your own from now on. Oh, no. I want you to know that I have some specific plans for you. Do you remember the promise that I made to you? Well, I'm going to fulfill that promise. I'm going to keep that promise. And I've got plans to make that happen with and through you. So even in their circumstances of captivity, God declares that He is working on their behalf. You see? He is actively working for them. Notice here, and this is an important thing, notice that He says, I have plans for you. Okay? Whose plans are they? They're God's plans. You see? And that's an important thing that we've got to really get straight. And we've been talking about this throughout this whole study and looking at our experiences with God and recognizing that we've got to get with God and let God work His plans in our lives. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants to do through us and in us and with us. You see, notice that these plans also, He says, they are plans to prosper you and not harm you. You see, one of the things that we have to remember about God is God does not have a desire to bring harm to us in our lives. That's not what God's desire is. You see? And He also has plans to give us a hope and a future. You see? God is looking out for us. Not just right now today. You see? But He's looking out for our future. What His plans are for us. And the us, by the way, I want you to be thinking in terms of not only you personally in your life, but us as a church. You see? What are God's plans for us? He says He's got plans. You see? Plans to give us hope and a future. And we should be able to find hope, you see, in knowing that God has plans for us. Whatever might be going on in your life individually. And then again, for this church, that we can find hope in knowing that God isn't just up there doing whatever. You know, He's sewing and knitting or, you know, playing pinball or whatever, just to occupy Himself until He decides to finish the world and then He's going to come back and get involved. No. God is actively working in our lives and carrying out His plans for us. You see? And what He calls upon us to do is to join Him in His work in our lives. And even in the midst of turmoil, just like the Israelites were at that particular time, you see, God is working on our behalf. So as you look at your life and the stuff that's going on, and as we talk about over and over again, the daily struggles that we find in spiritual warfare, Satan is attacking you. And sometimes, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, people feel hopeless. Know that God has plans for you. Okay? And He is working in your life. He's working on your behalf to carry out His plans for your life. Well, okay. How do we really know that? Okay, that really sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that, you know, make us feel good? Okay. But when's he going to carry those things out? Well, I want to suggest to you that he's already started doing that. Okay? Look over in Philippians chapter 1 in the text that was read as we began this morning. Philippians chapter 1. And look at what Paul is telling the church in Philippi here. And praising this church for the work that they're doing. Look at what he says here. Beginning in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And look at verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Wow. Okay? Did you catch that? He's already begun a good work in you. Okay? Again, you see, it's not a matter that God is going, let me think, what am I going to do with these folks? I haven't really figured that out yet, but I'll come up with something. You say, no. He has already begun that work, hasn't he? If what Paul is telling the church in Philippi is true, and if it applied to them, I don't know why it wouldn't apply to the rest of us as Christians, that God is working, he's already begun that work. Okay. And I wonder if sometimes as we face some of the stuff that we face in our lives, if we sit back in despair and wonder when God's going to decide to help us. You ever felt that way? God, when are you gonna start helping me get out of this mess? When the reality is we need to remember God is already working on our behalf. And notice what kind of work that it is. You see? He says it's a good work that he is working in you. You see? And I, you know, anytime that God is doing something, would you agree that that's a good work? You see? Yeah, I would. You see? Whenever God is working, it's a good work. You see? And Paul is saying he's already begun this good work in you. Okay? So he is working on our behalf. He's already doing it. And it's a good work. Now sometimes in the midst of that work, you know, we might even wonder, is God really there? Is God really working on my behalf? Does God really even care? You ever felt that way before? But you see, we need to remember that yes, as we've talked about before, because of God's nature of love, remember us talking about that a few weeks ago? Because of God's nature of love, he cannot do anything that will not be in our best interest. You see? Because that's what agape is all about. And that is his nature. God is love. And therefore, anything that he does in our lives, he is doing for our best interest. Therefore, it is a good work, is it not? You see? God is working and he has already begun a good work in us. Even if that good work at the time might hurt. We don't always understand why certain things are going on and why we have to go through them, but because God has his plans, he knows why. And he knows what those things are going to do to strengthen us and to carry us through where he wants us to be. But they are good works. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. It's a passage here that we quote a lot, you know. We turn to a lot, especially when we're in times of despair and struggling and so forth. But I wonder if sometimes we don't truly really understand what Paul is saying in this particular verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The New International Version text says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." The English Standard Version says, "For those who love God, all things work together for good." Now, here's the problem. I think that so often we have taken that verse to say, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know it's going to work out good. And good becomes the problem. Because sometimes our idea of good is not what God's idea of good is. Because so often we think of good being in terms of physical, you know, physical means, you see. You know, physical, I'm going to get better, and this ailment that I have is all going to go away. Well, we know that that's not true, because everybody has to die of something, right? And so we're not always going to get over all the illnesses that we have. You see? So it certainly can't mean that. You see? Well, it means that I'm gonna be very successful in my job, or I'm gonna have lots of money and not have to worry about any physical things. No, it doesn't mean that either. We need to understand that, because I think so often Christians are disappointed because we read this verse and we're convinced that it's all going to work out the way I want it to, or the way I need it to. It's going to work out for good. What's the problem with that kind of thinking? Same problem we often have when we talk about it's I problem, isn't it? You see, because again, it's not what I want it to work out to. It's not what I need it to. It is what God wants to work it out to. What fits into His plan and His design. And the promise here, I'm convinced, has to do with that everything will work out, you see, for the good of God's glory in our lives. You see? That, I believe, is the promise. Not one that will physically make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. And those who are preaching that kind of a gospel are just wrong. Okay? But God will work out everything. And remember, this verse says all things, right? It's all things. God will work out for ultimately our good. And that will be eternal life in heaven. Okay? And that's what we've got to be focusing on. That's what we've got to remember. God is working in our lives, and He will work out your life and the things that are going on in your life, so that when all is said and done, you will be with Him, so long as you hold your life to Him. You know, the other thing that He says over in Philippians there is that He will carry this work on to completion. Okay? I don't know about you, but I don't like to have what I refer to, and a lot of people talk about, loose ends. You know, you got some kind of a project that you're dealing with, and there are all these little things that are left undone. I like to get things done. I like to have it finished, you see, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. And, you know, when I get to building on something and making some kind of piece of furniture, or, you know, or a rocking horse for my grandson, you know, whatever, I want to make sure that I get it done. I don't like the loose ends. And I'm convinced that God is the same way. Okay? When all is said and done, and when the Lord comes back again, there's not going to be any loose ends, you see? There's not going to be any, whoops, I didn't think about that, you see? God's not going to be surprised, and God is not just kind of sitting around going, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this part here. I'll worry about that later. Oh, no. Oh, no. God has plans, doesn't He? And He's working those plans, and so He's going to carry everything on to completion, Paul says. The work that He has begun in you, He will carry on to completion, he says, for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God will not stop and He will not fail in His work that He is doing for you. Do you believe that? I'm not convinced by that. I mean, think about it. Do you really believe that God is not going to fail? You say? He can't fail. I mean, if He could, He wouldn't be God, right? He's not going to fail in the work that He is doing on your behalf. I don't know about you, but that sure makes me feel great. You see? I don't have to worry about whether God's going to make it or not. I have to worry about, you know, me, whether I'm going to follow through, but I don't have to worry about that with God. You see? He is not going to fail. And He's not going to stop working on your behalf and on my behalf. Why? Because He is motivated by His love for us. See? That love that compels Him to work for His creation. See? That's what motivates Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer there quotes from Isaiah, where he says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." There is nothing, nothing in all of this creation that can separate us from God. Looking back in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 37, we'll finish up here. Paul says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors." I like that word, conquerors, don't you? You see? Because that word implies what? Victory, thank you. You see? We are more than conquerors, he says, through Him who, there it is again, loved us. Okay? "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." That's pretty complete, wouldn't you say? It doesn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room there, does it? You see? Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. You see, that's one of the realities that we need to really come to grips with when it comes to experiencing God in our lives. Is that God is working on our behalf. He's working around us. And He will never stop. He will never stop working on your behalf and on my behalf, on our behalf, because He loves us. And He always wants what is best for us. I hope that in thinking about this morning, that it helps you to really look at and understand God in this aspect that says, yes, because God loves you, He is working for you. And what He calls upon you to do is to join with Him in the work that He is doing on your behalf. Now, as we think about that particular reality, okay, God isn't just sitting around, as I said. He's not just sitting around on a throne somewhere in heaven going, well, you know, wonder what's going to happen today. He's working. You know, He does not want us to be just kind of sitting around going, gee, I wonder what's going to happen today. He wants us to join Him. He wants us to meet Him and to work with Him. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. But the first thing that's got to happen if you're going to join God in His work is you've got to be joined with Him in relationship. And you can't do that if you're still separated from Him by your sins. But the great news is that if that's where you are this morning, right now, if you're still separated from God by your sins because you've not called upon Him to be your Lord and had your sins washed away in baptism, then you can do that right now, today. See? We've got water that's ready and prepared right behind me. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as such. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sins that are separating you from God and have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now. If you're already a Christian, but maybe perhaps things that are going on in your life that Satan has been wreaking havoc in your life and causing you to doubt or causing you to struggle in ways that are causing you to maybe wander away from God and not be as faithful as you know you need to be. And we're here this morning as a family to encourage you and uplift you and help you to deal with that. Because that's what families do. We're going to stand and sing a song. What are we singing, Ted? Number 473. We're going to use that as an invitation song. And the Lord's invitation is open to you. All you have to do is come up and let me know what we can do to help you in your relationship and experience with God. Let's stand together and sing.